So I know we're not totally started yet, but we wanted to move 24, 26, and 23 to the front of the agenda so Dan could participate and leave.
Well, also because with two people gone, which I didn't.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I mean, this is just one of those jammed days.
Yeah.
I understand that. And we didn't anticipate it either because we assumed that they could zoom in, but I guess we have to do the resolution every month.
Yeah, the resolution and the.
Yeah, and, okay.
So I'm going to call us back into order. So Trustee Davis is absent. Trustee Jones?
Here.
Trustee McNicholas is absent. Trustee Perry?
Here.
And Trustee Vickers?
Here.
Okay. Approval of the agenda? Oh, the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand. Put your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll be right there. Sorry, I'll be right back. I'm a rock in my car.
So can we have a motion to approve?
Can we have a motion, please, to approve the agenda?
With that moving, was it 24, 26, and 28, 27?
24, 26, and 23 are we moving forward?
24, 26, and 33.
Okay.
And one item was pulled from consent?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so can we? Let's approve the agenda and then we'll pull.
Okay, may I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I mean, pulled off completely. That's all I meant to.
Yeah, 17 is pulled from the agenda.
Okay.
I made that motion.
Okay, thanks, Jen.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Now we'll approve the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. A motion?
Jan moved to approve.
Okay.
Changes. I will second if it wasn't seconded.
And then our vote is 3. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Do you want a reorganization of the clerk?
Yes, reorganization of the board, election of vice president and clerk.
So I guess it's you, Gail.
Nominations.
Oh, we alternate.
Oh, we're doing it now? I thought we did it in December after.
We do, but.
We lost.
We didn't have any.
We had a change.
Yes.
Oh, right. So.
Jan Vickers is nominating Gila.
Oh,
I second that.
For president?
No, vice president.
Oh, for vice president. Okay, that sounds good.
Well, clerk, vice president.
Vice president, clerk. Okay, I'm good on that.
And we need a clerk for this meeting. That's.
Okay, and I will second that.
Okay, so we have a motion by Jan, a second by Gila, and a vote of?
Aye.
Aye.
3-0.
That's okay.
Okay. And then, so we'll go ahead and we'll move to item 24, which is the budget. So we need a motion to open public hearing.
So moved.
Well, so we'll declare that open at 9:16. We have no one to speak. So, Gila, will you second the motion?
Oh, second.
And we're going to call the public hearing closed at 9:16. And can we have a vote?
Aye.
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 3-0. Okay, thank you. And then we're going to move to item number 20.
Do you guys vote on public hearings? We just declare them open and closed. Okay.
Oh, well, we vote. No, we don't vote. We just declare them open and closed.
We're voting to adopt the budget.
We're voting to adopt. So we have the presentation on that now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like, are you skipping my presentation?
No, I'm not.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not going to skip you.
That was an easy approval.
Yeah. Okay. So it's my privilege to present for your consideration College and Career Advantage's proposed budget for 22-23. Wow, what a difference a year makes. Everything's detailed in the financial reports and in the and summarized in the memorandum. In light of time, I'm just going to mention some of the highlights to the proposed budget. We are projecting about $5.3 million in revenue for 22-23. This is including, similar to this year, the CTIG grant of $3.3 million with a projected carryover of this year's CTIG of about $435,000. As far as the K-12 Strong Workforce Program, we're projecting the usual program coordinator grant of $130,000 with a carryover of about $189,000 from this year's Pathway Improvement Grant. We're being conservative and not including any other K-12 Strong Workforce programming for this time for next year. OCDE projects that STIRS on behalf will be about $215,000 for 22-23. Interest revenue and the adult funding program is going to be about the same as it was this year for 21-22. CCA pass-through allocations from the JPA districts for 22-23 is $494,830, which is a reduction in about $986,000 for the next 2 years from agreements due to CCA receiving COVID relief funding in 21-22. Moving on to the expenditures, we are projecting expenses of about $7.7 million, utilizing about $2.4 million of the $7 million that we have from our restricted reserves to cover the difference from the revenue. Certificated and classified salaries are about $3 million, which includes staff increases. The employment benefits are about $1.3 million, up a little bit from last year due to increases in the cost of insurance and the PERS contribution rates. Books and supplies are being projected right now to be about $624,000, service and operating expenses about $742,000, and capital outlay of $677,000, still spending the COVID funding. Pass-through from CTIG funds for the JPA districts is returning back to the pre-COVID allocations of about $1.3 million. So overall, CCA's proposed budget for 22-23 is still projecting to have a restricted reserve of about $4.7 million. Therefore, CCA is projecting a great financial standing for 22-23 and subsequent years. And as usual, we'll go ahead and provide updates at first interim. So it's our recommendation that the governing board approve College and Careers proposed budget for 22-23 as presented. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask.
Thank you.
We did a motion, Jan, Gila, and then we've got a 3-0 vote.
We voted it.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm on the fast track here.
I know you addressed it in your paragraph near the bottom of page 86 on that it reflects deficit spending.
Right.
So I just need to remark on that because going back many, many years in Laguna, we had a real problem with that. So I realize that you addressed it and you will be bringing it in the first interim.
Yeah, it's because we have $7 million of the COVID or the restricted reserves, and so we have to spend that down over 2 years, so we have to do deficit spending.
I know it's been addressed before, but I just wanted to acknowledge that I'm aware of that for the record.
Yes.
It's always good to have.
In my early learning years, I didn't necessarily recognize that.
No. Yes. It's very important.
And I mean, you're very clear about it. That isn't always the case.
Yeah, no, I wanted to be upfront about it.
It has been mentioned before. I know that.
And do education JPAs have to have the minimum reserve?
No, we've talked to the auditors about it because all of our funding, like CTIG and that COVID funding and even the K-12 Strong Workforce is considered restrictive to CTE only. Right. Okay. So that's why it's considered restrictive reserves. Okay. But you have a certain amount of time that you can use it in. So it doesn't go towards our unrestricted reserves, which is all that's considered on these reporting for the met or unmet of that 5%.
Okay. But we do have to have reserves. We don't.
Well, I mean, we don't have to have that 5%.
Legally, JPAs are exempt from that, but we still want to do it because it's a good fiscal behavior.
And you probably already know that we ended up having to borrow from CUSD about a year ago because the funding is so wacky and it's like feast and famine, and so Patty started putting more aside for that since we have a good year. So,
we're going to still continue to do. That's why I said, boy, what a difference a year makes when I started this compared to last year, where I wasn't quite here yet, but I did hear about it and know what was going on with it. And so, we are in definitely a different situation than we were this time last year, which is great. Uh-huh. And we're planning on keeping it. so that we have that little bit of a reserve just as well. But it's going to be under restricted reserve instead of where it says unrestricted, just because that's how our funding is.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So we're going to move now to item 33, CCA calendar for the 2022-23 school year.
33.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought
25. We were going to do 26, but it doesn't really matter which order it's in.
So we'll go through the calendar.
Yeah. So I just wanted to ask a couple of questions on this because, you know, unfortunately, two different districts with different calendars, and you know, they have issues with their community. We have issues with our community, and we kind of have to do what we have to do. So.
But we're very close now.
We're way better than we used to be. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. When we first sprung that on you, you were like, how are we going to do this?
We're still starting way after Labor Day.
Yeah, yeah.
But for the following year, we're going to be 2 years apart.
2 weeks apart with their calendar is.
For next year?
For the 24 year.
Yeah, you can check on our website.
Right. We have so many years. Because ours is, we're getting out a week later. So.
But we don't know what their approved is unless we get it.
For 23-24 for CAPO, their last day is projected up as of May 31st.
Yeah. So we're going to be 2 weeks apart. Yeah,
looked at that. In any event, so like for example at the top, the fall semester begins. So mostly, students go to the CCA classes in their own district and on their own campus, but there are exceptions. So when our fall semester begins on August 16th, and theirs is not until the following week, if there's a Laguna Beach student who is enrolled in a COSD class, will they be expected to come those days?
I mean, what we did before.
They should attend. Is that correct, Kim? Yeah, they should attend.
Yeah,
and so, they're notified. We let them know ahead of time.
So they do get notified. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when they register, they learn about that. That's good because
just to be the same with CSU, CUSD students would come a week later.
Right.
They
start later. Yeah. Yes. Our rule is if it's on their campus at Laguna Beach, students obey that those rules, and if it's on our campus, then
it's kind of like if you were taking classes at Saddleback College. Mm-hmm. You know, just because your own classes haven't started. You can't decide, oh, well, my classes haven't started. I'm not obliged. But, and that might even be a good way to explain it to students. If you were taking classes at a community college mm-hmm. and they have a different calendar. Because we're going to get some pushback from students probably on it.
We've been doing this since I've been here for mm-hmm. 5 years. We've been further apart and they managed to get to the classes.
How does that work for the instructors? Because I know some are in Laguna and in CAPO, so they got to start early and go late.
Yeah, we do the exact same thing. If they're teaching on Laguna Beach campus, mm-hmm. then they do Laguna Beach rules. Okay. If they're on our campus, then they do our rules. So okay. Our CCUSD's campus.
And it's on our After Bell registration. So once the portal opens, actually in February, those dates are on the After Bell registration schedule. So they know beginning in February.
Right. Yeah, we highlight them, we block them, we make them red.
Because students don't know crap.
They do get a robocall.
They don't look far ahead.
They get a call.
They get a robocall.
They get a
robocall.
They get an email. We do the best we can.
So all of these things, with pupil free days and all this other stuff, like here's March 10th is a Laguna Beach pupil free day, but if we have classes and they're at, say, Aliso Niguel, because I think most of them who are taking class with us are taking it at Aliso Niguel. Well, that's what I haven't understood. Doesn't matter.
And our after-school classes are typically not on Fridays, so if you see anything like that March 10th, it wouldn't affect any students because the whole class is going to be Thursday after school.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway,
Can you explain a little bit about why Capistrano District is starting earlier?
I don't 100% know. I'm not on the calendar committee, and we have a committee of about, it's like a cast of thousands. I think there's like 40 people on the committee, and they decide. And I was on it for a while, and I said, so now it's somebody else. But we want the first semester to end by December, by Christmas.
Right, we do too.
And so that kind of, everything flows from that. Now, you do your pupil free days a little bit differently, and I don't know exactly how it works out that you are starting 4 days after we are.
Because we get out later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but your winter recess is the same as ours.
Mm. But we have the...
So
you have the midwinter recess.
Yeah.
You have the ski week.
Oh, anyway, you're having right. midwinter recess.
That's okay. The only thing that really causes us right. any real trouble. And it's not real trouble because our teachers all are aware, and our teachers try to do the best and accommodate the students and try to, if they know they're going away for that week, mm-hmm. they try to give them the work. They've been doing it for, like I said, since I've been here, and they do the best they can.
Okay, so it's like a ski week.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Okay,
right.
In February. Okay, so that's...
So I wondered if you took into consideration, I mean, I know your calendar is similar to Saddleback, similar to Irvine, ours is different, if you were getting out early so that students could enroll in community college, since more and more students...
That was part
I
of
don't know if that's one of the considerations or not. Again, I'm not on calendar committee, so mm-hmm. I don't know. I know when I was on, we did talk about that. But Saddleback... changes all the time. Some years they start real early, some years they start later, and I don't know that they plan their calendar as far in advance as we do. We do 3 years out, mm-hmm. so we now know what it's going to be for probably the next 4 years, because it hasn't, you know, anyway, it's a long time, mm-hmm. and I don't think we know for the far out years what theirs will be, because they don't publicize.
Yeah, I looked just for this next year, and we're getting out a week too late for our kids to do it. Mm-hmm. And
I think I'd make accommodations. I mean, I haven't investigated that. I don't know that, but I would think that if a student really, really had a class they wanted to take, that they could contact. So I'll bet contact the instructor yeah. and give it some kind of an allowance.
You know, I have some friends on the board there, and I will ask.
Yeah, if they look at ours, because it's, I mean, a week isn't so bad, but if it's a couple weeks.
Yeah.
You know, I think
yeah. I will talk to my friends.
It's really.
And of course, if it's our seniors, they're out a week earlier than our other kids are out.
So right.
The seniors,
yeah, and
there are seniors that do it between senior year and going to college, but we've got a lot of juniors now.
Well, I know, but I don't even know numbers on that, so we would need to see if that's. But our calendars are set, and it's negotiable, so mm-hmm. at this point, it's set.
Yeah, but I really don't think they do it very far in advance.
I don't
but I'll ask.
I think they do just a year in advance. I mean, I think I saw they do have it for 23.
I'm pretty sure they don't have calendar committees.
A lot of their core classes are kind of set multiple, because those are the standards, so they always roll, but a lot of times, of course, based on enrollment, what makes and what doesn't make, or if they're starting new programs. Mm-hmm. Sometimes those are very fluid, and sometimes they don't know those till the very, very end, mm-hmm. especially on new programs.
But a lot of instructors that I know at Saddleback will drop you if you aren't at the first class.
Right.
Yep.
Because some classes, they've got plenty of students.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
And now, do you think most of your students mostly go to IBC or mostly Saddleback?
Probably IBC.
There are quite a few at Saddleback. I've talked to a couple at Saddleback.
Yeah.
Not so many Orange Coast, but Orange Coast does have a later summer school. So some of ours had to do that because
I think they go with it if there's a program that they want.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I will find out. I will talk to them, my friends there, and just say, hey, you know, could you put someone from your district on our calendar committee?
yeah, that would be helpful.
It would actually be helpful if they would send someone one time, mm-hmm. so they could even just recognize how far out we go. How many years in advance do you approve a calendar?
Two or three.
Okay.
Because it's negotiable.
Yeah.
And we did it with a committee type approach several years ago, and that was not real successful.
Yeah. Oh, it's mostly the calendar.
It was mostly summer work, and not as opposed to.
Oh, I think we approved in like April or something. We approved.
No, I mean it was not summer work for that. It was the reason that they wanted to get out earlier was more summer work or going to college or going to college orientations. It was the less enrollment at college.
Right. Right.
But you add all those together, and whoever is got the microphone, that's the most important issue.
Yeah.
So this time we did it.
The Saddleback year, I know, is shorter. I don't know how many weeks. Let's say we're 40 weeks. And they're like 38 weeks or something.
It's different.
That gives
them... Counseling 100 class wrapped up 2.5 weeks before our final started at the high school this past year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, I will do that. Okay, so. Then the other one.
Can we have a motion to approve?
So moved. Oh, yeah. Approve, please.
So moved.
Second.
And we have a vote of?
Aye.
3-0.
And then we need to do then the.
26?
26, yes.
So move to 26 organizational goals.
Report on the goals.
Correct. Do I just jump in?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
After we.
Just want to make sure.
You've got the floor.
Following the rules. We have the year-end goals that we would like to take an opportunity to review with you. So you have in your packet, we have three primary categories for our goals. So I'm going to run through them just briefly, and please ask any questions as you would like as we go. So our first goal is in the category of student achievement. So one of the things that we did was prepare kind of the optional instructional delivery model in case of emergencies. As we've experienced over the last few years, so utilizing Canvas and other online platforms and services for our students to continue to deliver our high-quality level of CTE instruction. So that is a plan that is in place, and it is ready to be deployed should the event we ever need that again. Professional development staff, Ms. Jillian Dean, our coach there, she has put together a professional development calendar and a set of modules for our teachers to work through, both in an induction phase for our newer teachers and another six set modular structure for our more veteran teachers. And that calendar she has laid out for all of our staff to be able to go through. And then once we finalize those pieces, we will bring that before you for your review as well. Our WAS committee continues to meet with our stakeholders, our teachers. So our senior management personnel have been leading work groups and working towards establishing the identification of new goals going forward. So that work is in progress in preparation for our WAS visit this year. We have continued to reinstitute our college and career centers on high school campuses. We have three of those up and operational. We hired, we hired our three counselors to be staffed in those locations just recently. Very excited about those three folks that we're bringing on. The other three college and career centers are currently underway. I went and visited yesterday just to check on progress, and there's been a lot of progress movement. So very happy, looking forward to getting those finished off so that those can be operational during the school year this year. we've expanded our offerings at the middle and elementary schools. So we had the funding this year to be able to take some stretches and a few steps into some new territory. So the middle school programs and the elementary school program for the first time is coming online. We have the eSports pathway that we're looking at establishing as well, and that tracks all the way up through to Sora High School with the eSports lab that's coming. And then Wood Canyon, we've been working with Gardner Holt on the animatronics lab there. So we went out and had a visit at the factory, took the principal with us.
Wow.
Super, super excited about that. It's really going to be fantastic. We went over to one of their demonstration sites, a school just around the corner there, and watched the kids as they interacted in the lab, which was just so energizing to see them bringing their, they were working in social studies curriculum at the time, but they were bringing their social studies curriculum to life in the animatronics lab, and it was really great to see a fully integrated approach like that.
No kidding.
Which was that really dynamic.
Redlands?
I'm sorry?
Was that in Redlands, or where was
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah. So we are looking for this year to go into a planning year with Wood Canyon so that we're developing the capacity, and then that lab will be going forward. So really, really excited about being able to expand into the elementary level. We were able to, this past year, expand our UC A through G designations for all of our classes. So all of our classes are either A through G, articulated, and or honors weighted. I know that was a really big step for a lot of our high school students to access our classes so that it continued to support and inform their high school transcripts and GPAs and things. So that was important for them. Makes our courses and opens our courses to many more students taking them than might have considered to in the past. We will continue as a staff to look for industry certifications in all of our programs. Those are ever-changing. New certifications come. Some certifications get a little old and stale in industry sometimes, so we will continue to constantly review and evaluate certifications for kids and bring those in as appropriate for our students to access. Our next large category for our goals was budget and resource management. So CCA continues to work with capital advisors and our other school services to support legislation that works towards fully funding CTE and growing funding for CTE in general. This year we were successful to this point with using our advocates to lobby the legislature for reducing the match for JPAs within our CTIG funding. So the current legislation, as it has moved out of its last committee with no votes, includes a one-to-one match for JPAs, only designated language in there for JPAs, which is a huge step forward for us in terms of funding. So very excited about the work that we were able to do with our capital advisors group and our JPA coalition vote.
And let us know, I would say the whole board of Laguna Beach and Capo, when there's something that we could, you know, write emails on ourselves, and if there's bills that we need to be watching, things like that, there, you know, even some of our parent groups are probably, you know, our PTA ledge teams are probably willing to do that, and you may or may not be aware that we're pretty aggressive, at least in CUSD, about writing resolutions in support of or against something. Mm-hmm. And all that really does is get you your line on the bill of, you know, opposition and supporters.
Sure.
But, you know, it helps. It doesn't make a big difference, but it makes a difference.
Yeah.
And we can do that.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how much you guys write resolutions on that kind of thing as well, but and we can often get a resolution that's already written by from CSBA. Not always, but often we can. Mm-hmm. And Martha and I will write resolutions until the cows come home. Martha is like the best resolution writer I have ever worked with. She's amazing, and I've written a lot of resolutions. So we can, we're always happy to, you know, do that support.
That sounds great. So, yeah, always. We'll always keep you in the loop in those areas where yeah. we can support.
Yeah, because we might not notice them, so if we're in the loop and see mm-hmm. what you're doing, that mm-hmm. would be helpful.
And we can get our superintendent to write a letter as well. You know, and frankly, there's a lot of people on school boards who are not particularly accomplished, and may not necessarily be well thought of in Sacramento, but superintendents are a serious bunch. And a letter from a superintendent carries a lot of weight.
Yes.
And I think, I'm sure Jason would do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
We'll absolutely keep that in mind. Let's see. So, another on B, item B there. So, we will continue to monitor our cash flow. So, as you heard in our financial report a little bit earlier, we currently hold a cash positive stance, which is fantastic, and we do have a good, solid reserve. Foundation as well, so we're in good shape financially. We will continue to develop and maintain an inventory system, so we do have an inventory system in place so that we can monitor equipment and make sure that those items are being utilized for the purposes that they were purchased with our CTE programs. And then we have developed the budget for our emergency funds that we receive, and that was shared with you and approved in the financial presentation a little bit earlier. And then the third broad category we had was community engagement and communication. So many of these items are ongoing. It's just part of what we always do and continue to do. So we will continue to expand our partnerships and look for new collaborations and new partners to bring on board in support of our programs. We will continue to utilize our current partners to arrange opportunities for work-based learning, internships, field trips, those kinds of things for our students to get them out into industry settings. Some of those will be slow to come back and are slow to come back because of COVID restrictions. It still maintains. So our food service area is a little tough sometimes. Our medical area continues to be tough to get kids out. Our partners are still there. They still want to partner with us, but they're not in a position always at this time to act as we have in the past. But our relationships are still there, and we will get back to that just as soon as we can, and we'll get the kids back out. We will continue to strengthen our marketing strategies, focused on parents, students, and business partners, always legislators, as we just spoke about. Continue to recruit staff and teachers in the local and the regional community. And then we will continue to update our board policies as we go. I know that's been a long-term project that Kathy's been working on, does a great job with that. And we'll continue to make sure that our language is consistent with current trends, current laws, and regulations. We will continue to do those things as well.
Okay. Any other comments?
I have volunteered in the past to work on updating the policies. If you know you want to call on me to do that, summer is a good time. Although this summer I'm a little busier than I usually am, but I'm happy to do that.
So. Fantastic! Thank you. We appreciate that.
Just wanted to mention our students give seniors give a word of advice, just very briefly, to upcoming high school kids, and. Couple mentioned, be sure you check out CTE classes.
Oh, that's great.
I know it's getting
there. You go.
Yeah, that's great.
It has changed so much. I mean, you guys see it. You know, yeah, I mean,
and it will continue to change.
It will continue to change. But I mean, there's just so many classes now compared to what there was, 8 years ago when I got on the board.
Sacramento sees how important that is, and I know that was a top thing for Katri Petrie-Norris.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's all good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's see.
So are we going to move to the consent?
Yes.
Okay, so we've had no public comments.
So and I will move the consent calendar. I know Jan's got to get out of here.
Other than 17, anything else needs to be pulled?
I don't think so. I'm not pulling anything. I'm just looking to see where the discussion starts.
The policy revisions are just words, changes.
No, I'm good. So I'll move the consent calendar. You seconded it. So,
on paper?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Do we have any resolutions in here?
Not in the consent.
Okay. You're sure there aren't any? Maybe we should do a roll call just in case.
We're doing a roll call for the consent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, go ahead.
So we'll do Trustee Davis is absent. Trustee Jones?
Aye.
Trustee McNicholas is absent. Trustee Perry?
Aye.
Trustee Vickers?
Yes.
Okay, so then we'll move to the conflict of interest. Biennial review, item number 25.
A lot of these are really standard.
It's standard. Yeah, we did remove one title that we don't utilize anymore. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So we have a 3-0. Then we'll move to item number 27, resolution number 6 for year-end internal transfers.
I'll move approval. Second.
Roll call.
Roll call. Trustee Davis is absent. Trustee Jones?
Aye.
Trustee Perry?
Aye.
Trustee Vickers?
Yes.
28 is a resolution for the salary schedules.
I can move approval, but maybe we need to have a discussion.
Okay.
Does somebody want to
second? I'll second.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Second.
I don't have anything to discuss, but I thought maybe someone else did.
It seemed in order to me.
Yeah, you've already approved everything that we were changing. This was just actually getting the actual salary schedule approved
for the next fiscal year.
Effective as of July 1.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, roll call, Trustee Jones?
Aye.
Trustee Perry?
Aye.
Trustee Vickers?
Yes.
Okay. Then we got authorization of signatures for resolution number 8, item 29.
Second.
Trustee Jones.
Aye.
Trustee Perry.
Aye.
And Trustee Vickers.
Yes.
Okay. Item 30 is resolution number 9, authorization of signatures for Schools First and School Farmers and Merchants Bank.
Move approval.
Second.
Roll call, Trustee Jones.
Aye.
Trustee Perry.
Aye.
Trustee Vickers.
Yes.
Okay. Resolution number 10, authorization to approve vendor payments on the Business Plus system. This is because we've had a change in executive directors. Mm-hmm. We need to bring this forward.
Move approval.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Okay, Trustee Jones?
Aye.
Trustee Perry?
Aye.
Trustee Vickers?
Yes.
Okay.
And I will move approval on 31.
Second.
31 or 32?
32.
Oh, did we? Yeah, we did
31.
32 then.
Yep. 32 is to approve payments electronically.
I move approval.
Second.
Roll call, Trustee Jones.
Aye.
Trustee Perry.
Aye.
Trustee Vickers.
Yes.
Can we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
A vote.
Efficiency.
Yeah. So we have a 3-0 vote?
Yes.
Perfect. So we are adjourned at 9:49.